Session 70, July 13, 1964. Reading from The Early Sessions, Book 2 of the Seth Material. I am glad that at least Rupert seems merry, since Philip is obviously in such low inner spirits. Rob notes Philip, according to Seth, is the name of John Bradley's entity. I do intend to speak about his particular problems in a few moments. We will therefore momentarily suspend our discussion on the properties of matter, although we will shortly continue along the lines of primary and secondary constructions. Philip cannot be different than he is, and any attempt at pretense will betray him and not serve his purpose. His value to his company is appreciated by his superiors, and in the meeting which will take place, his stand as an individual is his main hope of success. If he does not follow through with his beliefs, then the meeting will result in failure as far as his hopes are concerned. If he takes a stand as an individual, despite the pressure against him, he will get most of what he desires, and compromises will be worked out to his satisfaction. His point of approach will be best if it follows closely the following suggestions. He should point out that his success so far and his value has been a direct result of his insistence upon following his own nature and acting upon his own ideas. His salesmanship has been the result of originality. He should point out frankly the fact that he has been more valuable to his firm than others who have slavishly followed conventional policy. This point, strongly made, will impress itself upon those in the meeting. It is more than possible that he can achieve his ends and at the same time retain his integrity without blemish. I am indeed no businessman as such, and yet I know that true value speaks for itself, as his value to the company is on record. This same originality and independence that made him an extraordinary salesman will operate even more effectively if he is in a higher position of responsibility. His individuality and originality and determination actually represent his value to the company, and they know it. To back down would be disastrous. They intend now, even now, to compromise. But a firm stand on Philip's part will result in compromises that they are not now considering. But that must be made to ensure his comparative happiness within the field. Any compromise of principle on Philip's part will be interpreted not as compromise but as weakness, and will work against the respect in which they now view him. If these points are considered and followed, then the financial gains will show themselves. I mentioned before that you do not clearly understand the meaning of practicality. You will get what you want, Philip, only because these men respect you despite differences. They know your value. They would get what they want at your expense if you weaken, and this is not being practical. Strength shows itself. Strength is respected. But true strength is the result of excellent communication between the outer self that faces the world and the inner self that looks inward. These men realize, too, exactly what your value is, and they, two men in particular, fear you. To back down now would result not only in business failure, but in personal failure that would plague you for the rest of your life. We here have been concerned with expectation and the way it influences the environment and the actual world that you create for yourself. This is far from Pollyanna hogwash. It is practical, and it works. Men sense fear. Men know a bluff. For your individual integrity, you must be willing to jeopardize present financial security. And if you are willing to do this, these men will sense that they cannot sway you, and they will accept your terms in the main. Rob notes, by now Jane's delivery was strong and very animated. She was pacing rapidly, and I had to ask her to slow down a bit. I was writing as fast as I could. What you are willing to jeopardize, you will not jeopardize. What you fear to jeopardize, you will lose. These points are extremely important, and they will work, Philip. There is an almost animal sense with which men know another's fear, and they can bargain with you if they scent fear. All this may sound highly theoretical and not practical. Nevertheless, they know well the independence that is the basis of your value to them. They would, if they could, soften you around the edges, just enough to make you more palatable. Rob, Jane had been pacing about John as he sat in our now familiar Kennedy rocker. She spoke to him with many gestures, and now John laughed outright. Seth, however, when the issue comes, if you hold firm, then they will take you on your terms rather than lose you. But this is dependent upon their knowledge that your stand is sincere and determined. If they sense that you will compromise, not in small matters but in basic principles, then you lose this club that you now hold over their heads. If they think that you will stay in the last analysis because of finances, then you have nothing to bargain with. Rob knows. Now, once again, Jane walked over to our couch and perched upon one arm of it, as she has done during each of the last few sessions. It is now apparent that she does this when Seth is feeling particularly humorous and sharp. Sitting there now, she pointed often at me to her right and occasionally at John in front of her. Seth, now, I have mentioned that we will have a party session in our new house, and I suggest that Philip be invited, for what will be a truly hilarious session. We will indeed have a time, and I do intend in a moment to discuss a few other matters in which Philip is unfortunately involved. I am first, out of the splendid goodness of my heart, going to make a short suggestion. You have been so faithful and indeed so studious in our discussion of matter, on matters that matter, that I will let you off, if Rupert and you would like to accompany your down-in-the-mouth Philip on his trip from bar to bar. Rob notes again, John laughed, staring at me. Her eyes very dark, Jane grinned. Her voice boomed out. Seth, you will not find this too disagreeable, and it will in fact do you both good, and I shall myself accompany you. I will be a silent partner if you prefer, though the situations would be quite amusing if you allowed me a word now and then. Rob notes, John, feel free to speak up, Seth. Seth, you, Philip, must come to our party. I'm going to put on a... He's a slow writer. Rob notes, Jane pointed a finger as I scribbled away. Seth, I'm going to put on a demonstration for my own edification and amusement that you should all enjoy. Rob notes, now Jane, still perched on the arm of the couch with her long black hair falling over her face, impatiently brushed her hair back. Seth, now a word. Rupert confuses me with this long horsey mane. My neck grows warm. A word about another situation. I will not dare to go into a general discussion on the subject of women, since Rupert would really boil. I do not know why he would react in such a manner, only out of a mistaken sense of loyalty, I suppose. Nevertheless, I would like to make a few remarks about a particular situation. I have a way with women, and in my time did very well. I indeed have been a woman, as Rupert has often been a man. Rob knows Jane began to pace about the room again. Seth, nevertheless, if these sessions were coming through you, Joseph, rather than through Rupert vocally, then Philip's wife would not be so concerned. This is not a conscious reaction on her part, although she does react consciously against the woman who has been recording the sessions. To be or to attempt to be an entire human being is difficult, because of Western civilization in particular, this is extremely difficult for women in particular. It is not intended specifically to apply to Rupert, that is, he is not to get a big head, nor is he to feel offended either. Nevertheless, both Rupert and the woman who transcribed the notes are unusually independent, and women will resent independence in other women, though they appreciate the same quality in a man. What they fear is that the responsibilities of independence will be thrust upon them. Philip's most personal inner image, the primary inner image, is of a single, free, independent male. Rob notes, John Bradley laughed. John, you can say that again. Seth, it does not take much to see that. This is not to say that he is not a family man, but that the image of a family man has been transposed by him, as well as by others. Rob notes, pointing at John emphatically, Jane laughed. Seth, no derogatory remark is meant, but he has failed in an important aspect of personal life, and if you respectfully ask that I shut up, I will do so. Rob notes, John, no, Seth, go right ahead. Seth, you have not introduced yourself to the woman who is your wife in one important manner. She sees the individual that you have permitted her to see, and that image is husband. The image is tied up with certain emotions, usually concerned with the institution of marriage and with being a respectable breadwinner and a father. You have not completely introduced your inner image, but only hinted at it, so that to her it is secondary and unreal. When she is faced by actual events in which you behave as the inner image, she is bewildered, confused, and imagines that you are demented. Rob notes, again, John laughed. We will let the demented bit pass for now, but this represents a failure on your part, and a somewhat smug attitude of hiding what is best from view. You cannot therefore expect her to understand. It is not within the realm of either her nature or experience. But you can bring it within the realm of her experience, and what is within the realm of her experience becomes part of her nature. She is greatly concerned with your children. She sees you as you have shown yourself to be, and yet she does not see the important part of you because you do not choose to show it to her. In time, this part of yourself could bring her much help, though not by any kind of dramatic, immediate revelation. Independence is feared by most women and yet admired. If she knew you as you know yourself, generally speaking, then she would not be so fearful. She thinks you are composed entirely of the image that you show to her. Therefore, any change in that image frightens her. If she knew that you were more than that image, she would not cling to that image so strongly. I do not usually address myself so thoroughly to personal matters. However, this has been due for a while. I will now let you rest. I suggest that the suggestions I have given Philip be read carefully and followed. The two men of which I spoke are looking for a hole in your armor. They fear your possible advance. They have feared it since your value was first ascertained. I told you earlier that changes would occur within, I believe, a 3-year period. If you follow these suggestions, you will be around to take advantage of a definite shakeup, and you are now being watched by men who do not feel yet in a position to speak. I hope we all enjoy ourselves this evening. I, for one, intend to enjoy myself, and you, young man, have been given the best advice of your lifetime, if I do say so myself. I will not leave you, but I will now end the session and will follow you in your wanderings. I do not suggest blunder-headed drunkenness on your part, Philip, merely half. Rob notes, end at 10:01. Jane was dissociated as usual. She ended the session in high good humor. All of us were surprised at its quick ending and at Seth's suggestion that we go out with John. It might be noted that by now John appeared to be in better spirits. For the record, let it be added that although we did go out for beer, we first took John up to the house we planned to buy for a quick inspection of the property. John needed to know its location anyhow. We took a six-pack with us and made the short trip out of town and up the dirt road along the hillside. It was, of course, very dark, but we could see a few lights in the valley below. The night was just right. John parked his car so the headlights illuminated the house to a good degree, and we showed him about as best we could without a key to get inside. We sat on the long, wide front porch and drank the beer. Jane had originated this idea, and she thought there was a chance Seth might come through while we were on the property, but he did not. Nor did he reveal his presence while we sat in a neighborhood tavern later with more beer. It was a very peaceful and relaxing time. We said goodnight to John at about 2 a.m.